This is Biz. I'm a part-time working mom with a toddler son and a daughter who's a full-blown kid.
And I'm Teresa, a part-time working mom with two little boys and another on the way.
This is a show about life after giving life. Don't listen with your kids, because there will be swears. This is One Bad Mother. This week on One Bad Mother, no more for me, thanks, I'm driving. AKA, I think I'm done having more kids. Plus, Biz is scared of Halloween, Teresa looks great, and we talk to the queen of children's music, Lori Berkner.
Woo!
Hello, Teresa.
Hi, Biz.
Man, I haven't seen you in a week. You're so huge.
Oh, thanks.
Oh, okay, wait,
thanks.
Wait. Teresa, I haven't seen you in a week. You barely look pregnant. Are you trying?
Thanks. I am actually pregnant.
How did either of those things make you feel?
Both of them made me feel crappy. And the second one made me feel like you were just lying to my face.
Well, okay.
But I know that's something that does happen.
It is. We feel like this might be a good place to remind people, now that Teresa is once again pregnant with child and life. We touched on this when we were both doing this. We were both making people a while ago.
Yeah.
But just like, Teresa and I have been talking about this recently. I've been asking her how she's doing.
Yeah.
I don't have to tell the story for you. Like,
No, it's just, I was saying to Biz, like, we were really on to something when we said, you shouldn't say almost anything, except if you want to say something about how somebody looks, if you want to comment on their appearance and you can't stop yourself.
Right.
Just say, you look great.
Yeah.
I'm going back in my mind and I'm grateful to us for having said that 3 years ago.
But it's weird to be doing it again, like to have spent time verbally talking about this stuff.
Yes.
To then be pregnant again and like have it there, like really looming because it's harder to forget when you do it publicly all the time. But like,
I think that like what's going on for me right now is I'm like 23 weeks pregnant, and because it's my third baby, I like popped out really early, and like I feel fine. Like I feel like I look like a pregnant person.
You look great,
I
have, actually.
Thank you. Thanks. And like you know, but my belly is like big enough that even people who I don't know have already started saying like, "Oh, congratulations," or like, "Oh, I didn't know you were expecting," or like you know, people are really commenting and feel like I'm like, my belly is big enough at this point that many, many people feel comfortable assuming openly that I'm pregnant.
Right.
Which we've said before also is risky business.
Risky business,
people.
Guys. Risky business.
It is.
But not a cool risky business, but more of a there's a special place for you in hell risky business.
I mean, and in those cases, like, that's fine. I am pregnant. And so it just so happens that those people have gotten lucky and... Like, they're right. I am pregnant, and thank you. And everybody's really nice about it and whatever. But the other thing that's also happening is that people who know that I'm pregnant, if they haven't seen me in a couple weeks or something, when they see me, I keep getting this. It's like, you know, even people who've had kids before. I mean, like, people who've been pregnant before. And it's like, I don't know if it's, I don't know what it is, but, like, pregnancy somehow, I think, just makes us awkward sometimes.
Yeah. And sure.
And so I've gotten a lot of that. You're really out there now. And it's always like...
You're really out there.
Yes, like people... Like, and people...
This
and,
is or people, on the ground control. Like, what the fuck does that even mean?
No, and it's like lots of people not having the words to say it, so they're just doing the thing where they stick their hand out and show how big my giant belly has become.
You're really... Whoa, like
to
this.
To indicate, like let me show you how much like Santa Claus you are right now. Like, and
that's a lot.
It's fun. Like, it's not like killing me inside or anything, guys.
No,
it's like, it's fine. Just, it's just kind of funny. But like, what I noticed was the other night we got together with some friends and like, haven't seen them in a couple weeks. And do you know what they said to me?
What?
They said, "Oh, look at you. You look great. How's the pregnancy going?"
Yeah.
And it, like, almost made me cry because it was just so nice. And it made me feel good.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I do know what you're saying.
So I am reliving this experience. And, like, I think in between pregnancies, I forgot. Like,
you forget
I was saying to Biz, like, did we overblow the whole don't talk to pregnant women thing? Like, is that just a little bit, like, don't say anything to me? No, I think this is real.
It's real.
It's real.
It's real, guys. You may forget about it, but it's real. Well, you do look great.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I'm hot, so I'm taking off all my clothes right
now. No worries. Whoa! Just kidding. Well,
how are you?
I'm fine. So we are, last week was our official Halloween show, because it aired before Halloween. We record on Mondays, so today is technically Halloween, but the show will come out later in the week, making it not a Halloween show. But I wanted to just briefly say how terrified I am of tonight's trick-or-treating activities.
Mm.
This will be Ellis's.
Are you terrified because you're going to be spooked?
Nope. I'm terrified because I'm going to get like yelled at by an emotionally charged almost 3-year-old.
Yeah.
So Ellis is going out trick-or-treating tonight for the first time. I mean, whole hog with the other kids. And he's going to be an aunt.
Oh,
big surprise, guys. I'm an aunt. I mean, like, it's getting worse, guys. I'm like, I love you. You are so smart. I'm an aunt.
You're a very smart aunt.
You're a very smart aunt. No, I'm just a normal aunt. Like, I mean, you cannot not do it.
God.
Anyway, so he's going to be an aunt. And I say, great. We're going to go out and we're going to walk to all the neighbors' houses and we're going to get candy. You're going to say trick or treat. And he goes, I'm going to crawl.
Oh, God.
And I said,
Jesus.
Oh, no, 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 no. You're going to walk. Now, this first conversation happened like 5 days ago. You're gonna walk. The costume's gonna look like an aunt. But you're gonna,
yeah.
And then the sobbing, like just
no.
like raw sobbing of the, I have to crawl. We have to crawl. And I just because it was like a week away, I was like, stop. I don't even know how to do this. We can't. I'm just gonna say, okay, baby. We'll talk about it.
We'll
okay, baby.
It
let's calm down.
Yeah.
The next three times over the course of the last 5 days that I have said we'll be walking. Door to door, aunts crawl, hysterical sobbing, like full meltdown, like not like tantrum meltdown,
right.
but like deeply saddened.
Yeah.
This is not how aunts work.
Yeah.
So this morning I was like, well, can an aunt be in a wagon? Can we pull the aunt around? And he's like, oh, yeah, that's a great idea. So,
we're going to do that, genius.
But, like, I still not 100%.
Oh, you solved it.
We have hopefully solved it. But just this kid's commitment to reality, to the workings of an aunt, is, like, got me a little stressed out.
Yeah, like, there could be other things.
There could be other things. I'm not even aware.
Yeah.
Like, he's like, we're going to go to Halloween. And I'm like, no, the whole day is Halloween.
Yeah.
You're going door-to-door and saying trick-or-treat.
Yeah.
I don't know how it's going to be.
There might be. It sounds like you're cruising for a little bit of a meltdown at the end that this wasn't what he had in mind. Because he doesn't know how to picture what Halloween is. So whatever it is, it's going to be wrong
somehow. It's going to be horribly wrong.
Yeah.
So I'm just like, you know, whatever. But I'll be a witch. So that'll be fine.
That'll
be probably scare him and he probably won't let me be a witch.
Good luck.
Thanks. Speaking of needing luck. Teresa and I are going to tackle a little topic about deciding to not have any more kids.
Please take a moment to remember, if you're friends of the hosts of One Bad Mother, you should assume that when we talk about other moms, we're talking about you.
If you are married to the host of One Bad Mother, we definitely are talking about you.
Nothing we say constitutes professional parenting advice.
Biz and Teresa's children are brilliant, lovely, and exceedingly extraordinary.
Nothing said on this podcast about them implies otherwise.
Hey, Teresa.
Yeah.
Do you see there's like a little ledge right up there?
Yeah.
Could you just get a little closer?
Do you want to walk on the ledge? Like we could do like that thing where your foot is like balancing like half on the ledge, half off the ledge?
Sure. And then at some point in time, I'm going to drag us over the ledge.
Yeah. Sounds good.
Scratchy.
Okay. Somebody wrote us. Yeah.
Yeah.
To
a letter.
To this topic.
And said, hey, I've, you know, been going through making this decision about no longer wanting kids, and it's a very hard, you know, decision, and I'd be interested in hearing you guys talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
So we want to be really clear about two things. One, this is a conversation that Teresa and I are having together as friends.
And it's private. So if you guys are eavesdropping.
Listen, this is private. This is a conversation we're having with each other about our personal decisions, mm-hmm. right? About how we came to wherever we are mm-hmm. in this process.
Yeah.
So that's one. Okay.
Yeah.
Two, this is possibly going to be a weird conversation to listen to. So those are the two things. So there you go. We're going to give this a try.
Great.
Okay. I will go first.
Okay.
Okay. I just in case for some really weird reason, This is somebody's first show they've decided to tune into. Good choice. Yeah.
Welcome.
Welcome. I have two children, a 7-year-old daughter mm-hmm. and a almost three, like in a couple of weeks, son. Mm-hmm. I am 42 years old. And that's it. That's like, I think the key facts just to
And you're married.
And I'm married
to somebody.
I'm married to someone. That someone's name is Stefan.
Yeah.
We're in a healthy, good. Yeah. Loving relationship.
But he's also part of this decision, presumably.
Oh, yeah. He is.
That's why I bring him up.
That's a good point.
He's part
of this. Takes two to tango in this particular
situation.
To tango
or not tango ever again. No more tangoing for you two.
And we're not having any more kids. Okay? We are done at the 2 mark. Mm-hmm. Okay? And I have to say, it was a very easy decision to come to. Mm. In this, we just knew it. I mean, we both just agreed.
Did you already decide before?
Yeah, we had kind of floated around that two would be it. Yeah, yeah. The two was going to be it, which definitely helps in making the decision. However, I have mentioned many times on the show, even though, and I feel like this is something I could talk about in terms of this discussion that we're having, is even though I have made this decision, and Stefan does not want any more children either, I still wrestle with that decision. I still wonder, should I? Teresa's pregnant. She's got three. Should I have one more? Mm-hmm. I have like a bunch of friends who are all having kids, second and third kids right now. Mm-hmm. And I do go, maybe.
Yep.
But for me, what goes into this, there are a couple of things. One, Stefan doesn't want any more kids. Mm. And I respect that. That's fine. Two, I don't do pregnancy and babies well. Like, mm-hmm. I mean, I do fine. You know what I mean? Like, I love them and I take care of them. But, like, it's psychologically really toiling on me. Like, I know I am a better person after three. Like, after the age of three. Mm-hmm. I am in a forest for a long time with Emma. It just... And I just feel like at this age for me and this place in my life, you know, like work's really picking up. I'm starting to be able to do stuff with both kids that feels more fulfilling. It just feels like if we were to make that decision to have another child, it would really be, and this is going to be a weird way to say this, a setback in where we are moving. Okay. And I've even had those dark moments with Ellis where I'm like, I'm really struggling with him. And I think we shouldn't have had two.
Yeah.
You know, which is a horrible thing. And it has nothing to do with him. I just like,
of
just,
course,
the,
yeah.
just the pressure and workload of two kids for me is a lot.
And can I just say, thank you for saying that because that's really honest, really brave to say it out loud. And I totally agree with you. It's not about him at all. It's about just, it's really hard, you know? And like, I've totally had those moments too, where I think back and especially looking at other families I know where they have one kid, I'm just like, oh, that's so nice. It just seems so nice.
Like going out and doing stuff.
Yeah. I'm like, how they're just like friends.
Yeah.
And they do like, I don't know. They're like, it's totally me projecting.
Yes, you're
like
projecting,
100%, you know? But I mean, I really appreciate you saying that because I think that is a totally fair thing and probably like really common,
Well,
and for any number of kids. I mean,
if you have one kid,
should we have had kids? If you had two kids, should we have had the second kid?
If you had five kids, should we have had the five?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like,
well, I also think some of it really plays into the struggle that we all have of adapting to life with kids and mm-hmm. that whole, who am I? Am I other?
Yeah.
Am I mother? Am I whatever? And so when I say that, it's so much about like those brief moments where you're like, when I'm really in the thick of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I sit there and I think, you know, this is my life. What would my life be doing? You know, like it's mm-hmm. such a, who would I be? Would I be achieving certain things? Or, mm-hmm. you know, if we had done something different, which is why when I think about having, when we thought about having a third kid, which we never thought about, but I mean, just that idea,
yeah.
it's like, okay, no, I have, like, it feels like for us to work, it would, this is where it has to be.
Yeah.
Right? Like
yeah.
That's us. That's my process. And then I have more I could talk about that later, but I want to hear about you guys.
Well,
or you.
Yeah, sure. Can I just, well, I just want to say, like, it's, I like hearing you talk about this because it helps me think about how I've made my decisions too in like a really similar like way. Like there's very similar, like almost categories to this because
right.
I sort of feel like there's the, what does my family look like in my vision
right.
thing?
Right.
And there's the, all the, if you're going to bear the child
right.
and like be pregnant and like give birth and, you know, breastfeed and or not breastfeed, but like
right.
if you're going to be doing the physical part of it,
right.
You know, waking up at night with a little one, all that, there's the, do I want to do that again?
Right.
Like, so those are two things that I think, like, I struggled with the decision to have a third.
Yeah.
Like, I think, for a long time, you know, Jesse and I always said two or three.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, like, it's easy to say this, like, having hindsight now, but
conversation is easier to have with hindsight, right?
True.
Like, it is. Yeah.
Yeah, but, like, I think that I pretty much always wanted to have three kids. Mm. Like, I think I pretty much always, like, in my heart of hearts, like, envisioned that for my family. But, like, with so many things, it's so hard sometimes to admit what we really want. And, like, I always kind
Ooh,
of felt that, like, three was really greedy. Like, for me.
Yeah.
I'm not saying for other people.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, like, can we do that? I mean, can we afford it? And it's like, does, you know, who is that for? And,
right.
like, what, you know, I really had some weird pressures on myself about, like, is that okay to want three kids? Like, is it okay ethically to, like, bring more children into the world? Like, is it okay?
Is it okay
that I'm giving birth, like, that I want to birth a third child rather than, you know, some other way of getting a child? You know, like, there were all these, like, kind of conflicting thoughts.
Yeah.
And also, I think also because it is such a two-person decision, like, with your partner, if assuming you're in a partnered situation, like, I guess I didn't want to have, like, a set thing that was, like, I must have X,
right.
Y, Z, because I know that it is a two-person decision. And, like, when it came down to it, it was the two of us deciding, like, is this something that we both want? But I think it was something I wanted all along. It was just really hard for me to come around to, it's okay
to pursue the
thing that you want and, like, the life that you want. That's okay.
Well, it's so intricate. I just stop right there.
Yeah.
I mean, I want to talk more about then what your decision is to have more after three. But, like, it is, again, let us say this is all about us as individuals. This is not a comment on how anybody else comes to these decisions.
No.
But what that shows me is you just forget, like, all these things go into play. Like, I mean, just the fact that you were wrestling with, like, ethical issues and, like, having those internal conversations.
Yeah.
I think the idea of internal conversations is universal.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever that internal conversation is unique. But I find that such a different from me, but, like, very interesting process coming to the three. The
mm-hmm.
question of eight. So now that you have three, here's my tactless comment. What's wrong with having four or five after three? I mean, you already outnumbered.
Well,
no, but, like,
well, I will say, like, what's funny is ask anyone.
Right.
You guys have all heard, if you've had one, we might as well have two.
It's like, they're not
tattoos.
If you've
had two, you might as well have three. If you've had three, we might as well have four.
They're so easy.
I mean,
it's so three is so easy,
but,
Teresa.
No, but even without the easy right. commentary, it's like the your life is already ruined commentary. One more doesn't make that big of a difference. That has been said to me every step of the way. I think people say it at every stage.
Yeah, no matter what.
And it's hilarious.
Yeah.
And it makes no sense.
Right, right.
Yeah, so for me, like, the decision, my decision not to, we're not planning to have kids after three.
Right.
And it, like, what I said about our decision to have three goes into that.
Yeah.
So, like, part of why I knew I wanted to have three was that I actually wanted to go back into the forest. Like,
right.
I
you love the forest.
Really wanted to yeah. do that one more time.
You're
like, I wasn't done with that. Like,
right.
I was like, and it's possible that after I have this third baby, I will still really long for that.
Right.
But in the case right now, like, that wanting to do that again also went hand in hand with, like, my vision for my family
right.
and, like, what I want. So.
Right.
I don't envision four kids.
Yeah.
I just don't.
Yeah.
So, like, that's going to help me. It's, like, it's just innate. I just know. Like, I just
yeah.
feel that. I don't, like, you know what I'm saying?
No, I know exactly what you mean. I mean, that's how I felt about, too.
Yeah, exactly.
I just know that's it.
Well, and that's why, like, it sounds like, you know, you've said to me, at least, I don't know if you said it on air, but you've said to me, at least, this was a pretty easy decision
yeah.
just because you just knew.
Knew.
Like, and I think that, you know, even after I have this baby, it's possible, you know, I'll feel differently about it this time and I'll be like, dunsies with that, you know? But, like, even if, you know, I still kind of, like, long for
right.
doing that again, having a newborn again and all that, I'm gonna, like, I will have to weigh that against.
Right. This feels more like closure for you, given the thought process
it
that
does.
Went into having the third.
Yes, it does.
Because I think that's a good point. For me, the thought process going into having the second
yeah.
really aided with the closure.
Yeah.
Okay, now that we've talked about the closure.
Yes.
Aren't we wonderful people?
We're great.
For making such hard decisions.
Yes, we're great.
I would actually like to explore why they're hard.
Yeah.
Because here's the thing.
Yeah.
Guys, I'm not having any more children.
Uh-huh.
I want more children. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like,
mm-hmm.
you make these decisions, and it's, I said this to Stefan 2 days ago, and he was like, and, you know, his comment was, obviously, we don't want to go through the forest again. I said, you mm-hmm. know what? I don't want to go through the whole first 6 months, first year with the kid, but I kind of miss, and I'm horrible at being pregnant, guys. I just don't like it. But I miss it. I missed some of that. Like, there, for as non-magical as I find it, there's a little magic that
yes.
I miss. There's, like, a theory. And I do comment on the whole, like, oh, I kind of do want to do it again just to do the natural birth thing this time. You know, like,
yeah.
there are all these things. And then what adds to that, those thoughts kind of come and go
mm-hmm.
here and there. But then what really gets me is, like, social media. I will go on. And there are two things I see that really trigger it for me that make me be like, I know this is the right decision,
mm-hmm.
but, oh.
But it's really hard.
It's really hard. And that is either those stupid Facebook memories that come up
mm-hmm.
of things you posted a year ago or 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I'm getting inundated with
every
like
day.
Katie Bell
yeah.
as a baby.
Yeah.
Katie Bell as like the cutest, like 1-year-old
mm-hmm.
licking a lollipop.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, look, a lollipop. Whatever. I guess she was two. and that's just like, oh, the babies.
Yeah.
And then I'll see people who are having the fourth kid.
Yeah.
Right? Like
yeah.
they're having the fourth kid or the third kid. And I think, well, we could do that. Why not? Like, what is, look how
yeah.
sweet that is. Like, look at everybody on their adventure doing their thing.
Yeah.
And like,
yeah.
you know, and it, again, it's totally projecting.
Yeah.
It's the same old, look at everybody being able to go to movies or out to
yeah.
concerts with their kids, and I can't, right?
Yeah.
It's like total projection. They're struggling or whatever. Let's just assume everyone's struggling.
Yeah.
Let me project that.
Everyone's struggling somehow.
Or better yet, I pass one of these, like, you know, classic American, like, paintings,
mm.
you know, from 100 years ago, 200
yeah.
years ago, and there's, like, the family out on their sweeping land
yeah.
with, like, children everywhere. And you just
yep.
assume they're all their kids,
right.
not weirdo neighbor kids who've wandered in to play
right.
on the farm or whatever. But I'm like, oh, we should be having this big epic thing. Like, I do feel like I'm missing out
yeah.
on having another child
yeah.
while I know.
Yeah.
That's not it almost what's feels best like, for our family.
Yeah, it almost feels like it's like being marketed to you in a weird way. Like, yeah, you know what I mean? I don't, because I think social media is a part of it, but I think social media just plays into something that already has always existed.
Well, yes, yes.
Which is like partially just like, so-and-so's, did you hear? So-and-so's having more kids. And just because of like having kids is how our species survives as humans. So like, I mean, there's a chemical thing that's going on that like, I mean, it's like, it's just the drive to procreate. I don't know what to say about it. Like, I'm not saying like if you don't feel that all the time, there's like something inhuman about you
Like,
or that if you've, you know, if that's your prime. I mean, there's a whole spectrum of like that urge, you know, I think, you know, as parents, a lot of us have felt that, which is that, okay, I don't picture my family as being any bigger. I don't really particularly want to be pregnant again, or I don't particularly want to go through adoption process again, or I can't afford it and I don't want the pressure of all of this. Like it feels unrealistic as like it just does not make sense.
Right.
And yet there's like that desire. Yeah. I don't know how to explain that.
I feel like
that's why this thing is such a quote unquote decision. Like decision. Because
it's like
because you kind of have to fight up against it over and over and over and over and over
again. It's just gonna be in your face,
which is
all
exhausting.
The time.
It's exhausting.
Yeah. All of that, I think, then leads to the thing that like we often joke about. But there's the oops, right? Because here's the thing. And oops can happen lots of different ways.
Yes.
There's just the straight up oops.
Yeah.
Oops. And then there
You should clarify.
Oops,
we've
we just got
about
pregnant again.
Right. So we should acknowledge that you can make this decision all day long and you might still end up pregnant.
Right.
You might still end up with a kid. Like, there's all kinds of things. Like, oh, my brother's kid, my brother can't take care of their kid right now. You know, we're in a stable home. We're going to take care of him there's lots of ways to get a kid when you weren't planning to have a kid. Like,
well, I think that's important to mention. I really do feel like we should wrap this up just acknowledging that. Just like all decisions, they require a lot of thought from you as an individual. And if you have a partner in your life, that partner, you have to be respectful of those decisions. But a year later, 3 years later, 5 years later, things can change.
Sure.
And that is okay.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like that, it honest to God, everybody, is okay if those things change. I feel like expanding your family... making the decision to not do that, no matter how you developed your family, you know, whether it was through infertility treatments or adoption or any number of other random ways that everybody's experiences are so unique and individual to this, you still eventually make this decision that your family is complete, and sometimes that decision changes. And then that.
And also sometimes, you make a decision about what you want your family to be and you don't end up having another kid.
Well,
that's not also in our control. Like we might say, yes, I want to have three kids. And then maybe number three does not come.
Happen,
you know, I had a miscarriage right before this pregnancy. Like,
shit
happens, you know, like it might not actually. So, yeah, I feel like we need to also acknowledge that, like, it's. In a way, it's kind of adorable that we pretend that this is in our control. Like, it kind of is. Like, we need to take responsibility for it. But on the other hand, like, it's really kind of not in our control in a lot of ways.
I mean, it is. Number two for us, Ellis did not come easy, right? It didn't come right away. Mm-hmm. There were lots of times where I definitely had those moments of, maybe it won't be.
Yeah.
Right? And I think you're right. It is fair to acknowledge that on paper... in our brains.
Yes.
It's cute to say we have any control over the decisions that we make.
Yep.
But life sometimes will find a way.
Okay, Jurassic Park.
Yeah, I was going to Jurassic Park. Da na 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 na.
Thank you. One Bad Mother is supported in part by Movement Watches. Movement Watches was founded on the belief that style shouldn't break the bank. The watchmaker's goal is to change the way consumers think about fashion by offering high-quality, minimalist products at revolutionary prices.
Guys, I have one of these watches. It's lovely, and it makes me actually feel fancy and put together when most of the time that's a little something that I struggle with. The design is classic, it's quality construction, and it's beautifully styled minimalism.
Get 15% off today with free shipping and free returns by going to movementwatches.com/mother. That's MVMTwatches.com/mother. Hey, you know what it's time for? This week's Genius and Fails. This is the part of the show where we share our genius moment of the week, as well as our failures, and feel better about ourselves by hearing yours. You can share some of your own by calling 206-350-9485. That's 206-350-9485.
Genius fail time, Teresa. Genius me.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
I saw what you did.
Oh, my God.
I'm paying attention.
Wow.
You, Mom, are a genius.
Oh, my God. That's fucking genius.
So everybody knows that Halloween is not my favorite, favorite holiday. I have a 5-year-old and a 3-year-old. My 3-year-old was super pumped about Halloween, and like I never really like pressed him to pick a costume, and I never really suggested a costume for him. And people kept asking, "What's he gonna be? What's he gonna be?" And I said, "I don't know. We're just gonna figure something out." And
because like you're breaking a mom code,
I know,
sometimes.
I know.
And people just stop inviting you to things.
Just check out how great this worked out, okay? So, because we have like a few play costumes at home,
yeah.
Like things that like Jesse's mom has given us that she found or whatever, or like old costumes from last year or the year before. So there's about like 5 different costumes that we have at home,
right,
that he could pick. So that's what I knew. I knew he can pick one of these depending on what he wants to do that night.
Right.
I'm not going to buy something. And you guys know I'm not going to make something.
Yeah. That ain't going to be
so,
Teresa.
Yeah. And so I was like, he's 3. He can pick something,
yes,
on the day of. So today is the actual Halloween, but a couple of nights ago, we were going to like a neighborhood, like a street festival, mm-hmm, with friends where kids were going to dress up, and there's a parade and a contest and blah, blah, blah. Simon had his costume that we already had all sorted out. He was happy. Oscar was like thinking he was going to wear the giraffe costume outfit that we had at home and was happy with that. But then Jesse came upstairs with his fox hat on. Jesse has like an animal hat that's kind of cool. And I had originally had like a little kid version of the hat that, mm-hmm, like had been Simon's back in the day. Well, Oscar saw what Jesse was wearing and he was like, "I want to be a fox too."
Yeah.
And we were like, "Okay." And we had the fox hat.
Nice.
And I was like, "Are you sure you don't want to be a giraffe?" And he was like, "Yeah, no, I want to be a fox with daddy." And I was like, "Okay,
done."
Great. He just wore his regular clothes and the cutest fucking fox hat. He looked amazing.
Yeah.
It like didn't matter. Like it didn't matter. He was,
yeah,
and he was so cute. And it like he was happy with it the whole night. And I was just like, I'm great. Like, like I just like really did not overthink this. I did not put any effort into it. And everyone is happy.
Wow.
Right?
Good job. Good job being great.
Thanks.
I made an ant costume.
Wow.
Guys, this was tricky.
Wow.
I mean, I got to tell you, it is, I had no time to make anything,
mm-hmm,
guys. The school carnival that I'm running is next weekend. I have been making for others.
Yeah.
And luckily, Katie Bell decided she was going to be Rey, and now she's from Star Wars. Now she's Cat Rey, so she's Rey, who's also Cat. But Ella's aunt, and I just, like, literally got a bunch of red felt and some giant googly eyes and pipe cleaners.
Mm-hmm.
We had a red hoodie, got some red pants, made a thorax real quick, thorax pillow, basically,
made
that I just tie around.
I love it.
And it, guys, he does look pretty spectacular.
He looks good. I saw a picture.
He's going to look pretty spectacular. I'll post a picture tonight once he's in it. So anyway,
good job.
I pulled that shit out.
You're amazing.
Mom.
You're amazing.
Mom Halloween miracle.
This is a genius, which is refreshing because I am a serial ranter. Today my genius is rotisserie chickens. It feels like you cooked dinner, but you did not cook dinner. and it's a couple meals. And you know what? Right now the carcass is in water, and I'm making a stock that's going to go in the freezer and probably sit there for 6 months until I throw it out. But you know what? I feel on top of the world. Go get yourself a rotisserie chicken.
That's genius.
We do this.
Yeah.
It's genius.
It is.
It is.
Yeah.
It is. It's a great reminder.
Yeah,
they're just
yeah.
sitting there. They're waiting for you.
They want.
They're hot yeah. and they're delicious.
Yeah, they just want to
and
come home with you.
Pretty good for you. I mean, it's chicken protein,
it's
lean
something
protein.
Something in it.
Yeah,
you make a little chicken salad later.
Sure,
you
they
can
totally
just slice
last.
It up for chicken.
Oh yeah,
make a stock and then you feel like you cooked.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and then
genius.
Throw it away. Genius. Great.
Great
job. Failures.
Fail. 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 Fail.
You suck.
Fail me, Teresa.
I am really lucky because I got my child into the kindergarten class with the teacher who is anti-homework for kindergarteners, which means we don't have to deal with homework this year, which is so nice. But they have a homework grade, so they have to give something. They
right.
have to send something home to come back so that they can give a grade.
Mm.
So what she sends home is once a month a reading log, and it's like you color in, like for September was like a little leaf. For October is like little pumpkin. You like color it in for every night that you read.
Right.
And then at the end of the month, you turn it in, and that's your homework for the whole month. And that's how they get their homework grade. Well, it turns out it's like pretty hard to keep track of one piece of paper for a whole month.
It is.
Like
it
that's
is. That's
pretty
a fact.
Hard.
That's
and,
a fact actually.
Yeah, and like we don't have we're the house with like the dining room table that just becomes like covered in piles of crap like
yes.
every single day. Like
yes.
Jesse or I will clean it like once every other day and it'll be spotlessly clean and then instantly it's covered in piles of crap the minute we walk in the door.
Yeah.
And so the reading log presumably got in there somewhere, and when one of us cleaned it of crap, it disappeared and it was gone. So it's the end of the month, the reading log is due, and we don't have one.
Nice.
So.
Good job.
F for homework. For Simon.
It's gonna go down on his permanent record. Fuck you, you're never getting into Harvard. Okay, so my failure is just thanks to... carnival. We've had a lot of work stuff.
You're like running the carnival. I always feel like you need to point that out. Like you're always like, you know, the school carnival's coming up. Like
guys,
as though people understand what that means.
Guys,
like it's not what it means for other people. It's because you're running the fucking carnival.
Yeah, I may, my past life as an event planner may mean that no one will ever be able to. Guys, it's like going to be a French Johnny Cash singer guy there.
Yeah.
There's like life-size Angry Birds that we're building. And like, it's big. It's a big deal.
Oh, my God.
Anyway, anywho, that Halloween, just generally trying to come out of my funk, which I feel like I'm getting out of, just
Yay.
I'm very tired, it just led to a week of oh, shit.
Mm.
Like, oh, shit, I was supposed to be on a call 10 minutes ago.
Mm.
And then, oh, shit, I'm at the grocery store without my wallet. And like, oh, shit, the exterminator is coming in five minutes and I'm on the other side of town.
Mm.
Just like a series of the oh, shits is what I had this week. And I dislike those.
Yeah.
Because
we all know what that's like.
Yeah, they just make you feel bad.
Yeah.
Where you're like, literally... The first thing that comes to my mind when it happens these days in this where I am in my life
is that just the thing that happened?
No, it's why am I not the person I used to be? It should be. Oh, that's a thing that just happened.
Hmm.
Oh well.
Hi. So this is a fail. We have this little game. My 3-year-old and I will all fall asleep, pretend to be asleep, and he'll give me a kiss on the cheek, and I wake up. So it's our little game. We love to play it. And then the other day, I was laying in bed, and he came in. He gave me a kiss on the cheek. I didn't wake up just to do what he did. And he did it like 3 or 5 times. And then he starts saying, Mom, Mom. And so I kind of like tickled him a little bit, let him know I was okay. And then I opened my eyes, and he has the biggest tears in his little eyes. He thought that I was dead. He was about to go grab my husband and bring me back into the room. I felt like the worst mother ever. Yep, definitely not ever playing that game again. Thanks, guys. Love your show. Bye.
Aww.
It's so dark. It's like my favorite. It's so dark.
It's really
so
dark.
But it's like, You do that. Like, that is such, like, a real, like, you think, this is a fight. We talked about this just, like, last week with you shooting the kid in the face with the water gun.
Yeah.
Like, this seems like
funny.
This will be funny.
I'm going to mix this up somehow. Oops.
Oops. Put a 10 in for therapy in the therapy jar for down the road. Well, that's what you get for having fun.
Yep.
Scarring your child for life. Oh, well.
You are the greatest mom I've ever known. I love you. I love you. When I have a problem, I call you on the phone. I love you. I love you.
One Bad Mother is supported in part by Primary, offering stylish basics for babies and kids in awesome colors and super soft fabrics, all under $25.
Guys, this stuff is durable, soft, and charming.
Biz, did you know that Primary was started by two moms who wanted a place for kids' clothes without all the logos, slogans, and sequins?
They don't have those things.
Yeah.
They're great.
Yeah. Good job, guys.
Primary's stylish basics and solid colors make it easy to find exactly what you need for the kids this holiday season, from the color-coordinated holiday card photo to the school choir performance to the annual new pair of PJs under the tree. Oh, my God, they're right. Do you know how many times I have to get solid color stuff for my kids? And I can't find it anywhere in stores.
Visit primary.com/badmother and use the promo code BADMOTHER to save 25% off your first purchase and free shipping.
Teresa.
Yes.
Let's call a mom.
Great.
This week, we are calling Laurie Berkner, who is the queen of children's music. If you have not met the queen yet, don't worry. Your life will lead you there. We are so excited to have her on to talk about her new album, Superhero, that just came out. Welcome, Laurie.
Thank you, guys. Great to be here.
We are so happy to have you here. And before we get into the new album, as well as just being a children's music musician, we're going to ask you what we always ask all of our guests, which is, who lives in your house?
Well, there's me, and then there's my husband, Ryan, and our daughter, Lucy. She's 12. Our dog, Winston, and our cat, Coley.
That.
And it's we live in Manhattan. It's not a big apartment.
That sounds about right. That sounds a cat, a dog, a 12-year-old, or a preteen, as it were.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
I know I say this, and then everybody's going to play this back at me like 5 years from now, but I can't wait for the tween years. Like,
really?
Who says that? I feel like I can handle that better than like the younger years. The younger years, I'm like, I don't know. You're not listening.
Okay.
I mean, like, I know they're not listening then, but at least they'll go, like, to their room and slam the door and, like, play music or something. Like, I don't know.
That and you'll seems, be like, this is right.
Like,
it's
that's right.
That they shouldn't be listening to me now.
Yeah, that makes sense. At, like, seven, you should still be, like, listening, maybe?
Or, like, trying to please me somehow.
To please me. Come on, kids. That's why I had you.
I wanted to just say really quickly that when I found out that I was having a girl, so like while I was still pregnant, I remember this was actually almost more moving than when I actually found out I was pregnant. And I went into the bathroom at the like ultrasound office and I sat in there and I just started crying. And I was like, oh my God, this is like the best thing and the worst thing that's ever happened to me. I'm having a baby. I now know it's a girl. I'm so excited to have a girl. And this kid is going to hate me when she's a teenager. It's just going to happen. And like I was thinking about that. I hadn't even had her yet.
Wow.
I know.
Wow.
And now we're getting there. So far, it's been okay. But yeah, I still have that to look forward to.
There are like some inevitables that there's so much about having kids that is completely like, oh, yeah. I wasn't expecting that. That's a total surprise. But there's something inevitable about your children hating you for a period of time.
Yep.
There's comfort in that.
Yep.
Well, I wanted to take a moment to share a personal story about your music. I had My daughter's seven, so 7 years ago, I'll do the math. And I'm sitting, I was in Brooklyn at the time, and I'm sitting in the apartment in Brooklyn. Katie Bell was maybe 3 months old, so we were 3 months into really sitting around in an apartment with not a lot to do and starting to lose my mind a little bit. And this was like just when, you know, there weren't a lot of people weren't like using iPhones and like apps and like website, all that stuff was like not really happening. And I was on a computer and I went to go look for like kids music, like a channel. I can't remember what it was. Maybe it was, what was that? It's not Spotify. Whatever was before Spotify, we could go and like try and find
Pandora?
Music. Yes, it was Pandora. And I go put Pandora in and do a kids music thing. And I'm like listening to some songs and I'm like, not sure this is helping. And then on comes your song, Goodnight. And it is this sweet little song about singing, and I'm a little tiger and my mom loves me. Oh my God, I love this song so much. And it comes on and I was like, I really like this song. Oh my God, I like this song. And then it has become such a staple for both of my kids. It was such a fun thing to sing to them. And I even tried to like pick it out on the guitar and ruin it that way. And I just, it's still... It really was this moment for me as a person who really came into kids not enjoying children's music outside of like stuff that I like Sam Hinton, like this singer from the 70s that I always talk about on the show, who was really kind of dark, dark kids music. I didn't think I would like kids music. And I really have to say that song was such a gateway for me to understand that there is actually good music out there for you to listen to with your kids. So I just wanted to say thank you for that before we move forward. So thank you for that. It's such a nice song.
Oh, God, you're so welcome. Yeah, I'm just like, that's very moving to me because I that's what I hope for deeply, you know, when I write my songs. So thank you.
Well, you're welcome. I wanted to, let's actually talk about that a little bit. Like there's, you know, I talked about this on the previously on the show with the guest where like kids music definitely falls into like, sort of like kids books where you're like, that's probably easy to do.
Yeah. You should just make a children's music album.
Yes.
Just make one.
Just make one. It's easy.
Yeah, you and should like, do that.
And it's so utterly disrespectful.
And incorrect.
But I do want to talk a little bit about, like, I guess your experience with sort of the reputation with children's music and how you go into it. I mean, you really are credited with being somebody who doesn't make music that makes adults' ears bleed. And I wonder if that's something that you put a great deal of thought in or just you just that's just what you write and it's really lucky for everybody. Or maybe I'm wrong altogether and you're like, no, 90% of what I write makes me want to jump out of it. You know, like I just talk a little bit about that.
Well, first of all, I want to say that's probably the best compliment I've ever received, that I don't make people's ears bleed. Second of all, and I'm writing that one down.
Yeah.
Second of all, you know, mostly I mean, as far as I know, parents actually do like the music, which is really great. And I like my own music. I think that's why parents like it, is that I would never want to write something that I would then have to sing hundreds and hundreds of times and listen to over and over in the studio and then make videos to and listen to again and be asked to sing again that I hated. And that was why I started writing kids music in the first place, is I was a preschool music specialist and I was singing Old MacDonald like till it came out of my ears. And it's actually a great song. I think it's like a perfectly well-crafted song, except that it's really annoying after you've sung it like 100 times. So I thought it would be so much better if I could write songs that the kids liked, but I also liked to actually play and sing. And so that's kind of what I've always tried to do. I mean, I think of them first, but I don't forget about just myself as an adult. And I think that translated into having other adults enjoy it as well. And I just got very lucky in that way, I think.
I'll take luck. That's a good answer. That's like 90% of like what I think it's all of us. There's like, hey, oh, that worked out. Oh, I'm so glad.
Yep.
That worked out.
Oh, my God.
So your newest album is called Superhero, and it came out in September, and it's the first album of all original music that you've done since 2008. Not that you've been just laying around. You've been releasing, you know, Christmas albums and collections of lullabies and other collections. But it seems like really challenging to write 21 totally original songs. So kudos to you on that. But I wonder what brought you to wanting to write a whole new collection, a whole new album, and what did you want to say with this album?
Well, I started writing the songs mostly because I really did feel like I had fallen into that let's do a theme album kind of a way of writing things. And it made me realize that it had been such a long time since I just got to write whatever I wanted. And not only that, I'd also written the music for a couple of musicals, and they were very directed. I wrote pieces for Sprout that were also write a song about this theme, and then I'd have to write it, and I'd send it in, and they would give me notes. And, you know, and when I started, I was just like, I just would make up this stuff. And I wrote ridiculous lyrics, like, I can't believe I'm going to say this actually in public about my own song, but I thought they were very silly. We are the dinosaurs. What do you think of that? We are the dinosaurs. We make the earth flat. I was like, oh, I just made that up while I walked around the room. But it's like the most iconic song that I have. It's 20 years old as of next March. So, you know, I just feel like I felt as if it would be not just a challenge, but hopefully fun to just be able to write whatever I wanted and see what came out. So that was all I was trying to do. I didn't really have a direction in my mind. And what I found once I had written all the songs was that there were a bunch of them that were really expressing this kind of strength and positivity and wanting to connect with people. At least that's how I heard the songs. And Superhero was sort of, that kind of encompassed a lot of those ideas to me. And so it felt really good to put that right up at the front and title the album that way, even though there are also, you know, songs about like fireworks and tea parties on there, you know, but it's all about playing and just, you know, enjoying being a kid, I think. And that's who they are. That's who's listening, I hope.
Well, it's so interesting to hear you talk about like sort of the going through a, I guess, almost like a rut on some level of, can you write this? Here's this topic, write this. Here's like less of the, you know, the more restrictive sort of writing, which I guess I don't, again, it's one of those things you don't think about when you talk to writers or musicians, that that's obviously part of that process, which I think is so interesting. To then think about like, oh my God, I've got to go do something totally sort of selfish creatively and see sort of what comes out of it. Is there a song on this album that like you love the most? Is there one that you were like, oh, that you could listen to over and over again? Or you just really connected with?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I do like a lot of them. I always feel whenever I make a new album, it's like having another baby. I'm like, oh, you know, just so excited and it's new again. And, you know, we'd love them as much as the old ones, but of course it's in a different way. And, but I really, there's a song on here, it was really the first one I wrote for the album. And it's called Bubbles. And part of what, there are a couple of things I love about it. One is that I woke up like in the morning one day with the tune in my head. And I thought, oh, that's a really good sign. I really like it when I don't have to think too hard and it's just like something comes out naturally. So I loved that. And then I ended up actually working really hard on the song because lyrically, it's about baths. It's about like bubbles in the bathtub. And a lot of people have asked me, we need a bath song. Parents have asked for a bath song from me. And I often actually get stopped when people ask for a kind of a song because I feel like, oh, it's for the parents, you know, but it's really the kids I want to write for. So I thought, how do I write this song really just feeling like I'm a kid and what is fun about being in the bath? And then I thought, well, maybe it's not all that it's fun. You know, baths, there's a mix. Some kids love taking baths. Other kids are not so psyched to take a bath. And also there's a big transition. Like you have to step inside, you take your clothes off, you get very vulnerable, right? Mm-hmm. You're naked, or maybe you feel totally free, you know, but there is that sense of vulnerability, I think, when you're not having any clothes on. And then you have to step into like a different temperature. You go from maybe being cold into being hot. Maybe it's too hot. You don't know if it's going to be the right temperature. And then you let yourself just be totally enveloped. And then there's just, to me, it's just this feeling of like, oh, I forgot. I love this. And bubbles make it even better. So I was trying so hard to put all those feelings into the song. And so the verses are a little bit like in a minor key and a little bit more tentative. And then the chorus is just very full on joy. And I ended up recording it in this way that has sort of like a, I don't know, it's like a pop kind of like a like a really intense pop sound. And I just feel like that brought out so many of those feelings too. So anyway, that's my very long answer to your question, but I love that song for all of those reasons.
It's so funny. I'm listening to you describe it. And I'm like, this is just like a parallel of me going out for like, you know, date night or like going and doing some sort of self-care where you're like, this is really challenging. I don't want to go get together with my friends. That's going to require so much work these days. And then you do it. And you're like, this is great. Yep. I feel wonderful. And like, I feel like I can.
So glad I did this.
I'm so glad I did this. Yeah. That's so funny. You forget that I really like the whole like vulnerability. You just don't think about that sometimes, you know, like with your what you're doing to your kid. Like, hey, get naked and get in the tub. Nothing's weird about this.
And I mean, and it's great. Like, we sit there and hang out with them, right? But later on, that feels weird.
Yeah. I want to talk about, like, one last thing. I want to wrap up on something that, because just your history with music as well as your career with music, and that is why is children's music important? Because I this is definitely one of those things that pre-kids, everybody says, I'm not listening to kids' music. My kids will listen to what I listen. We are going to Steely Dan it up, right? Like, we are going to just, it's fine. Music is music. And that's definitely and even once we have kids, we sometimes really wrestle with that a little bit. You know, we've given up everything in our house, and we'd have a real mix of kid and my kids currently know all the words to The Gambler by Kenny Rogers. I couldn't be prouder. But like, I wonder, I think that's just one of those things that we're like sort of clinging to as individuals before we expand our families. And I wonder if you could talk a little bit about why is children's music important?
I think the main reason is probably ownership. Mm. It's that kids, you know, when you play, or when I play, I'll talk about myself. If I play a song that I really like for Lucy, I actually remember when she was really little playing her some Louis Prima, and it like it turned on. It was like, bap, boop, boop, ba-da, ba-do, ba-do, you know, and she just turned and looked at me and started bawling. She was a toddler, but like, I was like, no, this is fun. This music is fun, right? So, but the difference, you know, so I enjoy that, but because of my experience in my life and the associations I have with that music and maybe with that particular person and, you know, and all those things, they have their own experiences and their own also, in terms of chronology, limited amount of experience compared to us. So I think what feels really different about a song that's written for kids, like if it's, at least I feel like this is what I try to do. When I'm really thinking about the kids, I really write from an I place as if I am the kid singing. And so that when a kid hears that music, then they start to use their own voice to sing it, then they're singing about themselves and their experiences and things that are relevant for them. And there is a real sense of ownership. I mean, so much so that I've had a lot of people write it to me and or just tell me and say, you know, I'll play the Beatles for my kids and they like it and it's fun. But then my daughter will call from the back seat and yell, put on my music, Mom. And they mean Lori Berkner, you know, and that's like an incredible, I think that's an incredible gift to give to anybody to feel like they, especially for a kid, because there are a lot of things that kids don't feel ownership over, right? Because they're not allowed yet or whatever. And I think to have that feeling that something really is theirs and was really meant for them is really kind of a gift. So, you know, that's a lot of also what I feel like I'm trying to do when I write the songs. Like, I want them to feel that way. I think that's important, if that's to answer your question.
No, it is. It not only is that is an excellent answer, and it is definitely one that I hear and like, you know, like I do with everything. I'm like, oh, that's so right. I hope I've been like encouraging my, you know, and we do, but like I think there is this like level of, oh, how easy it is it to be like, no, we're not listening to that right now. I don't want to hear, you know, kids' music. Or I don't want to hear, like, you know, no, we're going to listen to what I want to listen to, or whatever. And it's the same with, like, kids' television programming. It's not for you. It's for them. And I really, you're right. There are so many things that we don't give them control over, or there are things that we try to give them control over that may not be as easy as you can have your own music and listen mm-hmm. to it. And I really like that answer. That is really has given me a slightly different perspective on what we're doing with our kids and the music that they listen to, though they still love The Gambler.
Oh. Which is great. And I think that's so awesome too, right? Like they want, our kids want to also learn about us. And most of the time, I think, you know, and they want to share things that we love too. I think it's just when we as parents can turn and say, oh, you love that? I'm going to sing that song with you at the top of my lungs as well, because I can see how much it means to you. There's incredible joy in that. And then you're also kind of giving that energy back to your kid.
Yeah.
And I don't know. There's a lot, I think, in really kind of just being where they're at, you know?
Yeah, no, it's so good. Well, Lori, thank you for joining us and talking with us about this. We're going to link everybody up to the new album, Superhero, and where you can get it. We're going to play out on Bubbles, so everybody get a little taste of that.
Awesome.
And thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, sure. It was totally a pleasure.
All right. We'll talk soon. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay. Bye.
The water started running. The tub is filling up. I can't wait to get in. Duck in my boat and my pouring cup. I stick my toe in. Ooh, now there's no going back. The water's calling me. It says, go get the bubbles in the bath, bubbles in the bath, bubbles in the bathtub. Pop, 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 pop. I'll try to pop, pop, pop them all.
Do you live in the fictional city of Chicago? Do you love amazing podcasts like Max Fun's own Lady to Lady, Minority Corner, and Bullseye? Do you enjoy insightful interviews with talented actors and comedians like Dwayne Kennedy and Andre Royo? Don't miss your chance to be part of podcast history by attending the first ever Chicago Podcast Festival. Lady to Lady and Bullseye take the stage on November 17th, and Minority Corner performs on November 18th. Tickets are on sale right now. Visit MaximumFun.org for more information and to grab your ticket today. Right now.
Oh, that was so nice.
Yeah, that was really nice.
I really, she is as cool and as nice as one would hope.
Totally.
Sometimes people aren't. Yeah, especially like in like certain very specific genres, you know, and like it just was like talking to a friend at a coffee shop, right?
Absolutely.
I just really enjoyed that.
Yeah, she's great.
And guys, the album is so much fun. My kids like walked through. I was listening to some of the songs like a couple of months ago in preparation for talking to Lori, and my kids, I hadn't like told them yet that I had a kids' album, new album, and they both walked through and were like, "What's that? What's that? What's that? What's that one?" And, like, basically my prep work went right down the toilet. I just sat there. I listened to the album. It's a lot of fun. What's also fun is listening to a mom have a breakdown.
This is a rant, as will become clear in a moment. Sorry, if I hurt your ears. Sorry. 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 There just aren't words, but I just really needed to get that out. So, yes. I love the show. Have a great day. You guys are doing a totally kick-ass job. Okay, bye.
Sometimes they're just short and sweet.
Yep.
Sometimes you just have to scream, fuck mornings, fuck it, fuck it, fuck it, fuck it, fuck it.
Yeah.
Into the universe or into our call log.
And let's agree, fuck mornings.
Yeah.
Fuck it, fuck it, fuck it.
Yeah. Let's just all agree. Let's maybe that should
really
be.
Agree.
Can we do a t-shirt with like Minnie Mouse and she looks all haggard and she's got a cup of coffee and she just says, fuck mornings, fuck it, fuck it, fuck it, fuck it, fuck it.
Maybe
fuck
the
it.
Coffee has spilled.
Yeah, the coffee spilled. The mug says, I don't do Mondays that she's holding. So Minnie is holding it. I don't do Mondays mug. She looks like shit and she's like, fuck it, fuck it, fuck it, fuck it, fuck it, fuck it, fuck it. I'll be waiting for Disney's merchandise. To call me. You know what? You're doing a remarkable job. And sometimes that's really just the times that I want to say that out loud, usually I just mouth it. I look away from my children and I mouth the words, oh my fucking fuck, 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 fuck. And then I turn back and I say, I love you.
Sure.
Good night.
I'll sometimes do the classic go into the bathroom, shut the door, and start stomping my feet over and over again like a total freak. And then come back out. Hello.
Mama's going to play some music real loud right now, guys.
Yeah, mornings are hard.
Mornings are very difficult.
Yeah.
So there's that.
Yes.
That's a thing that happens.
Yep.
Every day.
Oh, yeah, it does, doesn't it?
Yeah. Oh, you're doing a great job.
Yeah, good job.
Good redirecting.
And great use of the hotline.
Oh, great
Excellent use of the hotline.
I really concur. I would like to just point out for the hotline, I sometimes like to check in with you guys. School's clearly back in session. We have over 200 calls this last month.
Oh, my God.
But, like, so many are geniuses.
Oh, cool.
School's back in session.
Good job, you
guys. Time to have some geniuses.
Yeah.
Kids are somewhere else.
Good job, everybody.
Excellent work. Teresa, what did we learn today? We learned that decisions are hard to make.
Yeah.
They are. Whatever your decisions are when it comes to what your family will look like, they're hard to make. And that's
it's not always up to us.
And it's not always up to us. And that's okay.
Yeah.
And I do want to say again that those decisions that we make are so personal and for us. And it doesn't mean that that doesn't make it hard when you hear somebody else's decision.
Yeah.
And to be respectful of yourself and be mindful of how hearing people talk about it makes you feel. You know, we haven't really talked as much as I thought we would on the show to date. We will. Don't worry. Teresa's got a lot of time being pregnant. Just about seeing Teresa pregnant and me not being pregnant. And while I know both of our decisions are 100% our decisions, of course I feel like, oh, maybe I should have had a third. You know what I mean? Like, maybe we should still. So those are really natural, normal feelings. And that's it. There's no bigger insight than that.
Yeah.
Feelings.
Yep.
We all have them.
That's right.
We also learned that Teresa and I had very remarkable Halloween geniuses that were simultaneously completely different.
Yep.
Again, sort of like life choices.
Yeah.
Up to the individual.
Yeah. And it worked out great for both of us.
Worked out great for both of us. And finally, we learned that children's music is pretty good. And Laurie Berkner is awesome and a great place to start if you're starting to explore introducing your kids to kids' music. And again, I really liked the idea of children's music being something that is for your kids. I love this idea of ownership and like feeling empowered and us celebrating that with them. That's an easy job we could do.
Yeah, it's an easy gift for your kids and like a nice thing to do to spend time together that I don't think we think about.
Yeah,
like, we think about like, oh, I should do an activity or something.
Yeah.
But like you could just as easily like enjoy some music together and like connect in that way.
I really agree. Yeah. It's an easy, nice idea. Yeah. Everybody, you are doing a remarkable job.
Yeah, you guys are great.
You really are.
You guys are awesome.
We are T-minus 3 weeks till the beginning of the holidays. Okay? The big turkey day is coming.
Yeah.
Don't worry. We're all in it together.
Yeah, we are.
We're going to start ramping up for our hiding in the bathroom campaign.
Yep.
everybody is amazing.
Yeah, we're here for you guys.
Yeah.
And you guys are awesome.
Yeah.
We're all going to be okay. We're going to get through this.
We're going to get through it. Teresa?
Yes.
You look great.
Thank you, Biz. So do you.
Thank you. And you are doing a really good job.
Thanks, Biz. So are you.
Thank you. And we will talk to you guys next week.
Bye.
I got to low down mama blues. I got to low down mama blues. Got to low down mama blues. Low down mama blues. Got to low down mama blues. Got to low down mama blues. You know that right.
We'd like to thank Max Fun, Lindsay Pavlis, our engineer, our husbands Stefan Lawrence and Jesse Thorne, our perfect children who provide us with inspiration to say all these horrible things, and of course, you are listening. To find out more about the songs you heard on today's podcast and more about the show, please go to MaximumFun.org.
One Bad Mother is a member of the Maximum Fun family of podcasts. To support the show, visit MaximumFun.org and click on Donate.
Do you have a genius or fail moment you'd like to share on the show? Then leave us a message at 206-350-9485. Full-on rage-induced rants are also welcome.
Well, Daddy may be fussing by, got low down mama blue. Oh, said Daddy may be fussing by, got low down mama
blue. MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.